Welcome to Onc Live On Air. I'm your host today, Ashling Wehner. In today's episode, supported by Sanofi, we had the pleasure of speaking with Xavier Leleu, MD, PhD, and Beth Feynman, PhD, MSN, APMBC, BMTCN, AOCN, FAAN, FAPO, about key data from the Phase 3 Iraklia study, which investigated the use of isatuximab plus pomalidomide and dexamethasone administered via an on-body delivery system in patients with relapsed refractory multiple myeloma. In our exclusive interview, Drs. Leleu and Feynman discussed the unique methods and design of Iraklia, key efficacy and safety findings from this trial, and the benefits of using on-body delivery systems to deliver effective therapies to patients in more convenient and patient-centered ways. Speaking today about the Phase 3 Iraklia study, just to start off, what is the background and rationale for really investigating subcutaneous isatuximab regimens in patients with relapsed refractory myeloma?
We have understood for now 10 years running lots of clinical trials in myeloma that CD38 monoclonal antibody are making a credible difference in the treatment of myeloma. So they are here to stay because those are really strong drugs for patients to control myeloma and to improve the survival of the patients. There are two CD38 monoclonal antibody, daratumumab, that exist at a subcutaneous manual push, and isatuximab. But isatuximab exists as an IV formulation. And the IV formulation is not nice for the patients. It's not very nice for us as well because it takes more time. And we have more and more patients in the outpatient clinic who more and more patients survive with myeloma. And I would even say the incidence of myeloma increase, but the prevalence, the number of patients surviving is increasing as well because we treat myeloma much better. And so altogether, we need isatuximab to be subcutaneous. So we would have daratumumab and isatuximab would have plenty of options for the patients and their families to better try to find out better how to tailor the treatment. Isatuximab being EIV, it's time to think about next, which is having a subcutaneous formulation.
Isatuximab is an anti-CD38 monoclonal antibody, and this is approved for use in newly diagnosed myeloma patients and relapsed refractory myeloma patients. And the safety and the efficacy have been well described. One of the challenges with an IV infusion, though, is chair time. So patients have to come in and they have to get an IV started, they have to get their labs, and then sitting in the chair during that infusion can be very burdensome for patients. And so now we have all these new subcutaneous options for various delivery systems. And so this isatuximab was studied as an on-body device system and really to try to find out, is this efficacy about the same? Is it just as safe or better? And what are the patient preferences?
Is there anything else that you wanted to add about what differentiates this agent from other agents in this space or really what made it feasible to try in this subcutaneous formulation?
Mechanistically, isatuximab and daratumumab are different drugs. Clinically, it's kind of very similar. They are approved in different regimens. So in the end, if we are, as a clinician here, if we have two different CD38 monoclonal antibody, it means two different options, meaning more options for the patient, their family, for us to decide. And so again, it would be great, even if clinically, there's no much difference across the two antibodies.
So isatuximab induces tumor cell death by various ways. Again, it's an anti-CD38 monoclonal antibody, but it also has some antibody-dependent cellular cytotoxicity, or ADCC. We also see some antibody-dependent cellular phagocytosis and complement-dependent cytotoxicity, or CDC. So there are a few different mechanisms of action that we think isatuximab has, which makes it an attractive option for our patients with newly diagnosed and relapsed and refractory multiple myeloma.
So then what was the design of the Iraklia study?
So Iraklia is a phase 3 study, international, multicenter, non-inferiority based, with one arm being isatuximab pomadex, but isatuximab given IV, and one arm being isatuximab pomadex, but isatuximab given subcutaneously. Now, the subcutaneous formulation of isatuximab is not manual push. It's with using an small device we call an OBI, on-body injector or on-body delivery system, which is very different from manual push. It's a complete new way of rethinking the subcutaneous approach of injecting drugs to patients.
So in the Heraclea study, patients with greater than one prior line of therapy were randomly assigned in a one-to-one fashion to either the isatuximab on-body infusion at a dose of 1,400 milligrams, it was a flat dose, or the IV at 10 milligrams per kilogram once weekly. And then they were also given pomalidomide, which is an oral immunomodulatory drug, 4 milligrams once daily for days 1 to 21, and then also dexamethasone, 40 milligrams once weekly. And if they were over the age of 75, we were able to decrease the dose to 20 milligrams. And those patients were given that regimen until disease progression or unacceptable toxicity or patient request, because it was a clinical trial, right? And so the study was designed for a non-inferiority type of a study. So looking at the co-primary endpoints were overall response rate and then the dose, of course, as well. And the non-inferiority was established with the on-body infusion if both primary endpoints were met. So not only the pharmacokinetics, but also the response rate.
So then that being said, what were some of the key efficacy findings from the trial?
We ran a non-inferiority study. There were two primary endpoints, co-primary endpoints. So you had to have the co-primary endpoints being non-inferior for the study to be positive. So the first of the two primary endpoints was overall response rate. And it was very similar across arms. And it met non-inferiority criteria. The second primary endpoint was not efficacy-driven. It was serum concentration at what we call the C-trough, at the minimal value, pre-cycle 6 that FDA calls steady state. And so it's more a serum concentration thing. And it was also non-inferior. So the study was positive if the two primary endpoints were non-inferior in the isosuccute very precise ID, and it was non-inferior in the isosuccute compared to SIV for the two primary endpoints. So the study is positive, and hopefully the pharmaceutical company Sanofi that led the study and is owning the isatuximab monoclonal antibody, therapeutic monoclonal antibody, will be able to have the subcutaneous formulation approved and reimbursed, and hopefully quickly, for us, for the patients.
Interestingly, in Heraclea, they randomly assigned 531 patients, and it was like 263 patients had the on-body device, and then 268 IV. And then after 12 months follow-up, the overall response rate was similar between the groups, 71.1% on the on-body device, and then 70.5% in the intravenous. So also the efficacy and safety were comparable with prior studies, like the Icarus study, which was IV, isatuximab, pomalidomide, and dexamethasone, which was investigated and granted FDA approval. So we saw similar findings in this study to the Icaria trial in relapsed refractory multiple myeloma.
Another key secondary endpoint was the systemic infusion reaction and local reaction. And so we noticed that the local reaction was very, very limited. Less than 1% of the patient had local reaction, which is largely less than we have experienced with daratumumab, with the manual push subcutaneous formulation. We also noticed that the infusion reaction, the systemic infusion reaction, dropped from 25% to 1.5%, from IV 25% to 1.5% with a sub-Q OBI. Really reassuring with the fact that the drug was very well tolerated and that could be started immediately ambulatory in an outpatient clinic or potentially at home. If it's approved at some point at country level. So though the very interesting thing is that there was no negative safety findings. It was the opposite. We had a lot of very positive safety findings. One more thing to say is that in that study, we looked at pharmacovigilance, the safety of isatuximab pomadex, but we also had to study the material vigilance, the device. And We found out that only 3.4%, 9 patients, experienced pain with the device. But the device was actually extremely reliable. You say that in English, I guess. It was really like 99.9% of patients completed the injection 97.9 in 20 minutes. So really, this device was never failed, and that's quite impressive. The device is automated. So you really, you stick to your skin. You push the button, and then you do whatever you want. You're free for the next 12, 13, 15, 20 minutes, whatever it takes for the drug to infuse. Point number one. Point number two, the needle is retracted. So patients feel not stressed. They don't feel the needle. It's retracted. And when you push a button, it gets in the skin. So it's very stress-free for the patients. So that's very important in terms of safety finding. Other things, the gauge. So the thickness of the needle is much smaller than usually when you use a subcutaneous formulation for manual push. So much less patients had pain and local reaction because of that. So again, very, very, very good safety finding wise. Finally, we do not have the same thickness. Women have a very soft skin. Male, more thickest skin. And depending on what you're doing, etc. And the system, it's individualized. The system pushes the product, sort of taking into consideration the how is the interstitial tissue where the injection is made. So yeah, it's really incredibly safe, incredibly reliable, and really incredibly well thought as a device.
So what's interesting in the Iraklia study, the not only did we have efficacy and safety, but the pharmacokinetic non-inferiority was observed. So the on-body infusion versus the IV infusion were very similar, which is really supporting the potential use of the on-body infusion device for patients, subcutaneous.
So then all of this being said, just what are some of the benefits of administering this regimen subcutaneously via that on-body device?
So what I found fascinating in the Iraklia trial, not only did the adverse event incidences were better, but the infusion-related reaction to me was really impactful. The incidence was 1.5% on the on-body device versus 25% IV. So when you're talking to a patient about a potential treatment option and that they might have a reaction, it's really reassuring for the patients and for the provider to know that they're less likely going to have an infusion-related reaction to that drug if you're using a subcutaneous on-body device versus the IV. So that was really impactful for me. And also, there is a concern about the on-body device. It's a really neat device if you've never seen it. It just literally attaches to the patient's abdomen, and it has a really tiny 30 gauge. So it's really soft and I shouldn't say cost off. It's not the right word. It's really seems comfortable. It's a very tiny needle versus some of the other infusion devices. And so what we saw in the study is that patients were able to not only take it, but a low rate of injection site reactions at 0.4%. And the drug dose was able to be delivered almost 100% of the time. It was 99.9% of the drug dose was delivered. So these findings were really impactful for me from that Iraklia study.
Overall, where does isatuximab currently fit into the relapsed refractory myeloma treatment paradigm? And do you think that the Iraklia data will sort of support or change that role going forward?
Absolutely. So isatuximab, again, is an anti-CD38 monoclonal antibody. We have another anti-CD38 monoclonal antibody approved also for newly diagnosed myeloma, daratumumab. So again, I think one of the concerns that providers have when you're selecting a CD38-directed therapy is what's better. And so we know that isatuximab has a little slightly different mechanism of action than the daratumumab. We also have some studies in high-risk population, again, not the Iraklia study necessarily. That was just the isopan dex with the on-body device. But we do see maybe a little bit more, a few differences with the isa perfilzomib, for example, studies that are coming out as well in newly diagnosed myeloma. And so I think that there's still a lack of clarity because daratumumab was first to the game. That was FDA approved in 2015 November and has been demonstrated to be safe and efficacious and as is available in the subcutaneous formularity with hyaluronidase. But isatuximab is like this little on-body device with a tiny needle. And so it's really attractive for resource utilization, healthcare provider preference, decreasing chair time. And again, it's a smaller volume subcutaneous and it's not with hyaluronidase. So it's really more comfortable for the patients according to the results of, it was the Izalco study that looked at the preference and patients had a strong preference towards this this on-body device syndrome. So it'll be interesting when this is FDA approved, which I hope it shall be FDA approved in 2025, to see what the uptake will be because of the differences of the infusion-related reaction and the comfort of the subcutaneous administration. So it remains to be seen.
You know, are there any next steps for this research or for studying on-body delivery systems just going forward?
So there was an important step, though, which is already done. It's a different study. It's called Izalco, because Iraklia goes with Izalco. Iraklia is a registrational study, but Izalco is a companion study. There are also other companion studies, because right now, Sanofi will get an approval for Isapomadex, IsaSotQ, but we want to have an approval for isatuximab subQ for all the regimens. So there has been a number of other phase 2 studies, companion to the phase 3 registrational study, to demonstrate that the safety profile material pharmacovigilance with ISA subQ with the OBI is very good across all combinations. So ISA KD, ISA Pomadex, but upfront, ISA VRD, etc. So this is one thing. The second thing is that Sanofi had to demonstrate that the isasocut OBI was better than manual push. They demonstrated it was better than IV, but there is one more step needed, which is a demonstration that it is better than the manual push. And so they run a study called Izalco. In Izalco, they randomize the patient to receive 3 months OBI, then 3 months manual push, or 3 months manual push, and then 3 months OBI. So each patient has his own comparison. Each patient can say, for 3 months I had this, for 3 months I had that, the two sub-Q formulation, manual push, OBI, which one I like? And 75% of the patient liked the OBI. Only 17% found that the manual push was okay. So it really speaks to the fact that this device is paradigm changing. It's really groundbreaking, paradigm shift changing, because one could think that in the future, all the subcutaneous formulation will use the OBI. It's so much better than a manual push. To see, we'll see to that. I'm not sure about that, but we'll see to. But at least for Iraklia and Izalco, it was really, really making a difference.
So I participated in a study with Enable Injections that looked at the on-body device and nurse preference. And so I am a nurse practitioner and I have a PhD. So I do clinical research and I diagnose and manage patients with multiple myeloma. But I'm also very interested in the nurse experience and patient-reported outcomes or PROs are so important for our patients. And so in that study, there showed to be a strong preference towards this administration. So I think next steps would be further studies to differentiate the different drugs, the daratumumab hyaluronidase administration. That's a large volume, a different way of administering in a larger needle. And will this be a more attractive option for our patients and nurses down the road? So next steps would be more investigations to the preferences, really, because that's how we decide treatment is the safety and the efficacy, and also trying to find the right drug at the right dose for the right patient at the right time. With the Iraklia study, again, emphasizing the low rates of infusion reactions. So I feel like if the on-body device is approved, this is going to effectively replace intravenous anti-CD38 isatuximab, similar how we do not very commonly give intravenous daratumumab anymore since we have the daratumumab hyaluronidase FDA approved. And so again, this sub-Q will probably replace the IV based on the low risk of infusion-related reactions, saving the chair time, And then maybe a future at-home administration option with the on-body device. And so who knows where this is going to go? And so I like to fast forward 5 years and know what that answer is, but I can't. So that remains to be seen. So should definitely help enhance the clinical workload with the on-body device. If the patient even gets it in the infusion suite, the nurse can put it on the patient. And then while it goes in over the 15 minutes, they can do other tasks, come back, take the device off, and then wish the patient a good rest of their day.
That's all we have for today. Thank you for listening to this episode of OncLive On Air, supported by Sanofi. Check back on Mondays and Thursdays for exclusive interviews with leading experts in the oncology field. For more updates in oncology, be sure to visit www.onclive.com and sign up for our e-newsletters. OncLive is also on social media. On X and Blue Sky, follow us at OncLive. On Facebook, like us at OncLive, and follow our OncLive page on LinkedIn. If you liked today's episode of OncLive On Air, please consider subscribing to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and many of your other favorite podcast platforms so you get a notification every time a new episode is posted. While you're there, please take a moment to rate us. Thanks again for listening to OncLive On Air.